The blessedness of true Christian experience is a precious thing to any believer. And even people on the outside of the church, away from the gospel altogether, whenever they see a real Christian, a true Christian, they can't help but appreciate it. And many, many could wish that they would be like that. And so far as we are concerned, those of us who do believe, isn't it true about us that when we see what we consider to be a real Christian, we wish we were like that? If you see a person who lives in the conscious presence of God, isn't that a wonderful thing? Or you see a person who feels sure that God has forgiven him and that he belongs to God. Or you see a person who will carry any problem to the Lord in prayer. Perhaps you can think of someone who, faced with some difficulty that would be too much for a human person to undertake, seems to have a quietness and confidence about it all, and if you were to ask them or hear them say anything about it, they will indicate to you, well, we're going to pray about that. Then there are people who never have any question about the reality of God. They never have any question about the reality of heaven. They have no question about the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ died for them. And when they're through with this world, they expect to go to heaven. They expect to be with Him. And as they go along from day to day, they will from time to time tell you that the Lord did this for them or the Lord did that for them. Now, I know that for some people this is a little difficult to understand, but for almost anybody that ever meets anyone like that, you can't help but have a feeling of a great desire that you could be like that. And truly, the Christian people in the face of the earth have had a remarkable testimony. When we think of the way in which they've suffered for their faith and the times when they've been persecuted and many of them have been killed and they never fight, they don't defend themselves, and still they spread and more people belong and still they're blessed, we can't help but have the feeling in our hearts that we could wish that that was for us. We rejoice in the thought that such persons become Christians not through anything that they do, and not through any money that they pay, and not because of the fact that they belong to any particular family or any particular group of people. We understand from the way the gospel is preached that anybody can come, that whosoever will may come, and whosoever believeth in him shall never perish but have everlasting life. So it's a matter of great joy and appreciation on the part of us all when we think about full Christian experience. And when we're thinking about that, perhaps some of us may wonder why we do not all have this fully. Even when we are minded this way, is there anything at all that we might prepare ourselves, we could ask? Would it be true that there are any conditions that need to be met before we can have the fullness of this Christian experience? Now, throughout these past studies, we've been talking about what some of these were. And we're going to be, in the very next program that we will present, we're going to be starting in the book of Acts, reading about what happened to those people. And just now, I'm going to bring to your attention one more characteristic about that these people had, something that you and I can think of, and we can, in a sense, judge ourselves to see how we measure up so far as this is concerned. We've been recalling that about those disciples who shared in the Pentecost experience, there were several things true. And yeah, I'm going to remind you that on the first day when we thought about this, we noticed that they had faith in God. They, every one of them, believed that God is, and that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. In the second place, every one of these people believed about Jesus Christ, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And about these people, we remember that they knew about the reality of the resurrection. They had seen the open grave. They had actually dealt with the Lord Jesus after He was raised from the dead. And they saw Him going up into heaven with their own eyes. They saw this thing happen. Whatever the rest of the world will think, that group of people really believe there is another world beside this, that heaven is real and God is real and the Holy Spirit is real, because these things we talked about in Scripture actually do exist. And then the last study that we had, you will remember, we took note of the fact they expected that the Holy Spirit would be given. They really and truly thought that God was going to do something to them, that God would come and dwell with them. And now I want to bring to your attention one more factor about these people. And remember, what we are trying to understand is, what kind of men were they who became the members of the early Christian church? In what way were they qualified to receive this great blessing? And what I want to bring to your mind now is, the only way I can say it, these were men who were commissioned to serve. I know that that language is not everyday language, but I think you can understand it quite well. They were commissioned to serve. They had been given something to do. We speak of the Great Commission in Matthew 28. It applied to these men. In the book of John, in the 20th chapter and the 21st verse, the Lord Jesus said to these disciples words like this, "As my Father hath sent me, so send I you." And just now, we need to lean back, as it were, and thinking of the whole Christian gospel, have this one basic idea in mind. God sent forth His Son into the world to seek and to save the lost. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life a ransom for many. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. These are the ways in which we describe this great truth. And now I want to tell you something else. When the Lord Jesus left this world, He commissioned certain people to go on doing His work. These were the people that we have in mind that received the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. That group of disciples who were gathered together in the upper room after He left, and who spent all that time in prayer, you will remember, 10 days they spent fellowshipping together, spending the time in prayer, waiting for the coming of the Holy Spirit. Every single one of these persons were included when the Lord Jesus had said to them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." Let me just read it to you. This is what they had been told. We read in the book of Matthew in the 28th chapter, beginning to read at the 18th verse. If I was to go back to the 16th verse, you'll be able to see the whole matter. "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. They could hardly believe it to be true. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." And you know, in that simple statement that we all call the Great Commission, the task was given to His people to go into all the world and tell the people of the world what the Lord Jesus came into the world to show, that God will save forever anybody who will yield himself to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what they were given to do. In the book of Acts, in the first chapter, the 8th verse, you will read in this connection, "You shall be my witnesses. You shall be witnesses unto me." After you are endued with power from on high, and they were to go in throughout the whole world, even to the ends of the earth, telling these things. Now, this belongs in the total picture. The sense that I have something to do, the feeling that it's my responsibility to serve the Lord in a specific thing. It isn't I'm just going to serve the Lord any way I can. I am to teach them the things that He revealed. I am to show to the world the things that are in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am to make this known to people in my witnessing way. And if I will do this, then I will be among those people who can confidently expect that God will come and be with us. This is what happened on the day of Pentecost, as we shall see. And if you think of all the benefits of Christian experience, I am sure that you will agree that there is no greater benefit that a Christian person can have than that the Lord Himself would have fellowship with him. that the Lord Jesus Christ would come and be with him, to be able to live moment by moment and day by day in his presence, to have the Lord with you in your own heart. Nothing more wonderful could happen to you, and nothing more useful could happen to you so far as this world is concerned. And this will be given to you by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And now I want to say something that I'm not sure I can say one time in a way that will, as it were, make itself clear to every one of you, but I want to say it that you can be thinking about it. The deeper benefits of the Christian experience, the greater joy of belonging to the Lord, is only available to people who accept the idea that they have a mission, that they have something to do. Only commissioned men will receive the fullness of the blessing of the Holy Spirit. Now, what all that means could be worded something like this. The Holy Spirit is never given to me so that I can enjoy him alone. I am never given the Holy Spirit just so that I'll feel good. I'm given the Holy Spirit to do something. We shall be noticing, as we're studying in the book of Acts, we shall be noticing that it was when they were face to face with some challenge, face to face with some issue to be met, some work to be done, some testimony or witness to be given, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is always given to a person with a task in hand to strengthen him and to fill him with a total commitment to God in the doing of that task. So many of us are carried beyond ourselves in the will of God in that way. Now, in our next study, when we meet, we will be working in the book of Acts, and we'll be beginning at the first chapter. You could prepare for it by reading in the first chapter of the book of Acts, because that's what we'll be reading, and that's what we will be studying. But just now, as we leave this part of it, let us keep in mind that if we're going to have the whole blessing of the gospel, we will need to have our hearts and minds open to the idea there's something we should do for the Lord, our God and Heavenly Father. Add thy blessing to each one of us to incline us to be obedient to thee, that we might have the fullness of the blessing. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.